Until you hear the sermon. Woo! It's going to be an awesome morning. We are continuing our look at our church vision statement. And I'm hoping, again, that we are seeing that this vision statement originates from Scripture and therefore must be taken personally by you and by me. It's not a vision statement, a word for that group of people over there, or a vision statement that belongs to that church that you attend. If you are a Christian, this vision statement is for you. This way of ordering our lives is for all born-again new creations in Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at the reality of hell, specifically seven descriptions that Jesus gave of hell. Each of us was given a postcard with three blanks on it for us to write down three people that we know that have not repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we face the truth that those three loved ones are going to hell if they do not repent. So we committed to praying for those three people every day for the month of October. There's going to come a point when we actually need to speak the gospel to those loved ones. We're going to have to explain it and communicate it. Now, many of us might think that we are unequipped to do this or we'll get it wrong, and that's why we don't speak it. So today I want to walk through the gospel in a way that I hope will be helpful and memorable to you, so that you can be confident enough to speak it. Because every Christian, as 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So it's being ready to explain and talk about the gospel. And because we are saved by Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in us, I know that each of us can learn to explain the gospel clearly and accurately and kindly. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So let's begin by asking, what is the gospel? Over the years, I've heard different interviews with people, read different articles and different books answering the question, what is the gospel? And it's surprising how often people say things like, the gospel is God loves you, or Jesus is my friend. Or many refer to the gospel as living a moral life, gospel living like Jesus lived, loving people and being generous. That's often referred to as the social gospel. But that's not the gospel in the biblical sense. The word gospel is the translation of a Greek word meaning good news. It is a message. It is news that is proclaimed and announced. And that good news is centered on God's provision of salvation in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the message of salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is not about you. It's not your testimony. The gospel is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he redeems people. When speaking the gospel, we want to get it right and not leave anything out. So I've tried to come up with four words that give the big picture of salvation, with the hope that each one of those four words triggers in our memory the explanation of the gospel. It's not fancy. I'm sure there are better ones out there, but my four words are purpose, problem, plan, personal. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. All starting with P. Very clever, eh? Very clever. Took me weeks in the thesaurus trying to figure that one out. Those four words, they flow from one to the other to tell the gospel. And I'll go through each one in detail and at the end in a shorter version. So the first one, purpose. As we looked at more deeply in the sermon on the first point of our vision statement, that we exist to worship God, we found that God is holy. He is pure holiness. He is just. He is good. There is none greater than him. There is nothing and no one worth worshiping other than God. And in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that God created everything. And as we see in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, God has no needs. He created everything and gives life to everything. He's the source of everything. So he created people. He created us. Not because he was lonely and had some kind of a needy God. But as Isaiah 43, verse 6 to 7 puts it, God's people were created for his glory, to glorify him, to worship him, to enjoy him, to be in a loving father-child relationship with God. God created people for this reason. He designed people to be worshiping him, to be in that relationship with him. And that's why in places like 1 Corinthians 10:31, people who are saved by Jesus are called to do all things for the glory of God. That's what they're designed to do, and that's why God calls them to do that. So that's our purpose. But there's a problem, a major problem, a severe killing problem, and that is sin. Back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created everything, and the pinnacle of creation is people, Adam and Eve, created in his image. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve represented people. They were all the people there were, so they represented all people, all humanity to come. And in Genesis 3, we find the serpent coming and successfully tempting Eve and Adam to eat from the forbidden tree. And in verse 5, the serpent said, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Being like God, knowing good and evil for themselves. Not relying on God, but being equal to God, being their own God. This sounded good to them. So they disobeyed God and decided for themselves what they would do. God doesn't need to decide for us. We will decide. So they disobeyed and ate from the tree. And that rejection of God, the act of replacing God by ignoring and defying his direct and clear command in paradise, brought sin into the world. And one of the results was Adam and Eve were now sinners, and all who came from them would be sinners. All people are born sinners, no one doing good. That's what Romans 3, verse 23 and Psalm 14 tell us. Romans 1 explains exactly what Adam and Eve and everyone after them have done. They have personally rejected God and worship created things instead of the Creator God. All people are dead in their trespasses and sin, as Ephesians 2 verse 1 says. Dead. Dead. Adam and Eve were alive in this amazing fellowship of worship with God, and sin destroyed that, and people could no longer live as we were designed to live. And because God is pure, and he is holy, and he is just, and he is totally good, sinners cannot come into his presence. The wages of sin is death. That's what Romans 6 verse 23 says. And 2 Thessalonians 1:19 says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. People cannot do anything about their sin. No one can do anything about their position before the holy God. All people are sinners and have earned eternal punishment in hell. God actually requires holiness from all who would be in a relationship, a loving relationship with him. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He is holy and requires holiness to be with him. He gave his law to show his holy requirements. His law is an extension of his character. And if you break his law and live against his law, you live against him. And we all break God's perfect law. We all sin against the holy God. And because he is holy and because he is just, sin will be punished. His wrath and anger and righteous judgment will come crashing down on the sinner because of the sin. That's what sinners have earned. That's what sinners have worked for. But there is the good news, the gospel, the plan. God has provided the only way for our deserved punishment to be taken by someone else. Only one way for you to be pardoned, to be forgiven of your sin. Not only to have your sin forgiven, but for you to enter that relationship with God, which you were designed to have, a loving father-child relationship. And the plan is all about God the Son, Jesus Christ. God came in the flesh. Here's what John 1, verse 1 to 3 says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells. Also, John 1, verse 18 clearly says that Jesus is God. God came in the flesh, fully human. He is Jesus Christ. And why did he come? Because of his love for people. He came to deal with our sin, to rescue us from our sin. Because the wages of sin is death, to take that verdict of guilt and punishment away from the sinner, it's got to go somewhere. Sin will and must be punished by the just and holy God. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to be the substitute who would receive the punishment sinners deserve. God the Father sent God the Son to die in place of the sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Romans 3, verse 26 calls God just and the justifier. And what this means is that because God is holy and righteous and operates in a holy and righteous and just way, sin will be dealt with. He will deal with sin. He's the one who brings his just punishment, his righteous punishment onto sin. And yet, he is the one who justifies the sinner, takes the penalty for the sinner's sin. God demands punishment for sin. His wrathful judgment will pour down onto the sinner. He is just. Yet there is a way for that punishment to be taken by Jesus instead of the sinner. He's the justifier. Jesus came and died as a substitute for the sinner. And for that to happen, to be applied to a sinner, it becomes very personal. Very personal. For the problem of sin to be dealt with through God's plan of Jesus Christ requires a very, very personal response from each person individually. A person must repent and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Acts 20, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says it this way, that people must turn to God in repentance and have faith in Jesus Christ. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. Repent means turning away from living for yourself, living by your own rules, being the king of your destiny. Repenting is abandoning that self-centeredness, that self-worship, and believing in Jesus Christ. And believing in Jesus Christ means fully relying on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, fully leaning on Him, fully depending on Him for the removal and forgiveness of your personal sin against God. No one can do anything to change their standing before the holy God. It's only total trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Our lives turned to Jesus and living for Him. Our lives turned away from ourselves and living for ourselves. And when this happens, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is applied to you, and you become born again, a new creation, adopted by God into His family with all the perks of a full-fledged family member, belonging to God here and now and being with Him in heaven for eternity. Eternity. So the gospel, purpose, problem, plan, personal. Our purpose is to know and worship the holy God in a loving relationship. But we can't. The problem is we cut ourselves off from God because of our sin. We can't live our purpose, and so we're lost, grabbing anything and everything and living for that. But God loves people, and He enacted His plan, which was for Him to become a man in Jesus, to come and take the punishment the sinner deserves, to be crucified on the cross. He died, but didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, showing He is king over death, showing He took all of God's wrath. And now He calls people to make this personal and repent of sin and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and right standing before the holy God, being made born again, receiving eternal life, forever living our purpose, what we were designed for, which is worshiping and enjoying and being fully satisfied by the holy God who created us. You're created for a purpose, but you can't live out your purpose because of a problem, and that's your sin. But God has a plan. That plan is Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, which requires a personal response from everyone. And when that happens, forgiveness, a life, an eternal life of worshiping the holy God. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. Four words, each word triggering a truth, all together forming the gospel. Church, you can speak the gospel. You can. You can explain it based on those four words. You can be God's messenger with God's good news for sinners. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. You can do this. We can do this. And we can be the evangelists out there in a world that is lost and grabbing onto anything and worshiping that and promoting worship of sin and evil. It's a world that is ending up, going to end up in hell. We have friends and family members that are going to end up in hell. But we can be praying for them and speaking the gospel to them with those four words. I'm going to close. Let's have the band come up. They're going to lead us in a response song. But I'm going to close with two things. The first is what we can do for each other to help speak the gospel. That's the first thing. And the second thing is a warning. So the first one. We as a church, we as brothers and sisters here at Calvary Baptist Church, we need each other. I need you, you need me, to help each other remember that there are people going to hell, and we are sitting on the salvation message. We need to encourage each other to pray for our lost friends and to speak the gospel. Some of you are fired up with reaching the lost people. You just, when you talk about the gospel, you talk about lost people. When you talk about lost people, we can just see it and hear it in your voice that we need to be praying for them, that we need to be speaking the gospel. You love lost people. You know, we need you desperately to talk about it, to share, to have your heart spill out. Because you know what? Being around you gets contagious. And we need to get contagious with what is happening in your life, your love for lost people. Because the church has the hope for the world, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what happens so many times is we just get caught up and distracted in this world, and we forget that people are going to hell, and we just keep going along doing our own thing. We can't, but we need each other to get our eyes back on the truth that we've got to get the gospel out there. We have to. We have to. You and I, we have to. And another thing that we can do is practice the gospel with each other, on each other, speaking the gospel to one another. We can do this often with each other so that we become more and more comfortable and confident in saying and explaining the gospel. Wouldn't it be good that if you and I were hanging out together, we're both Christians, and you explain the gospel to me with those four words, and I explain it back to you, and we listen very closely to each other and we go, yeah, you've got it. Oh yeah, you've got it. Now we've gone through it and we know what to say and we've practiced saying it. Now when I get together with my buddy for lunch and the conversation all of a sudden starts steering towards real life matters, that I could then bring up, well, you know, there is a purpose, but there's a problem, but here's a plan, but you got to make it personal. Wouldn't that be awesome if I've already done the work and tried it and gotten used to it and comfortable with it before I talk to my buddy and explain it? Well, we can do that for each other. We can do that for each other. We just have to do it. We just have to. Could I practice on you? That sounds awkward and might feel uncomfortable, but who cares? Can I practice saying the gospel to you? Yeah, you can. If I can practice saying the gospel back to you. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Because I want to be ready for when that conversation comes up and the Holy Spirit steers it in that direction. That's awesome. So we've got a lot of people here that we can help each other with, right? So do that. I want to just challenge you to practice with each other, to let yourself be fired up about lost people and sharing the gospel, and to talk it up, not fakely, but just talk it up. There's lost people there. We have the gospel. Here's the gospel. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. And get it part of our culture, part of our fabric here, so that we are spreading the message. So that's those two things. The other one is a warning. Be ready. People are easily offended. Easily offended. And the gospel is very offensive. We call people, the scriptures call people sinners who can't do anything to save themselves. We are helpless. And the Bible says that there is only one Savior, not one amongst many, not true for you and not true for me, one exclusive Savior, that's Jesus Christ, whom we all desperately, desperately need. Now, in our world of, hey, I can do anything I want to do, I can be anyone I want, don't tell me what's true. I'll figure out what is true. I'll figure out what I need. I'll figure out who I am. All this kind of positioning and this prideful, self-centered, self-worship that we have in our culture, that's what this world is like. To them, the gospel is offensive. Very offensive. And you've got to be ready for that kickback. Because there will be kickback. Just come to terms with it. There will be kickback. Don't let that stop you from giving the gospel, but just be ready for it in prayer and mentally that there will be pushback to the gospel. Because listen, Jesus was hated. The Bible is hated. You and I will be hated. The gospel message is hated. So with all this hatred going around, just be ready that you'll be hated and you'll experience some resistance. But don't let that stop you. Just be ready for it. Be ready for it. Be kind. Don't push back and punch back because they punched you. Be kind. Be patient. Be praying. But be ready for some pushback. So let's be in this together, encouraging each other. Practicing with each other, purpose, problem, plan, personal. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. I can do that. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. I can do that. And be prepared to be kind and receive resistance. Because you know what? Glorifying the Lord is worth it. The salvation of lost people is worth it. It's worth getting hurt. It's worth your feelings getting hurt. Right? Now let's go and pray for our lost loved ones and speak the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save sinners. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save me, a wretched sinner. I did nothing to save myself. You saved me. Thank you. And thank you that I understand the gospel message because, hey, I'm saved, so there's got to be some understanding of it. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I ask that for myself and for my brothers and sisters here that you would fire us up with the gospel message that we are so grateful for being saved that we want others who are not saved to also experience and have the salvation of Jesus Christ, to be brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, fire us up. Fire us up. Help us to stop being distracted and to stop just sitting quietly on the gospel of Jesus Christ, which saves people from hell. Father, encourage us to be talking with each other, to hear the excitement in each other's voice, that would get contagious, that we would encourage each other and ask each other questions about lost people in our lives. Father, that we would be brave and we would step up and ask, can I practice speaking the gospel to you? And can you tell me if I've got it right? Please, Lord, let us do this preparation so that we can be ready for when you've got the conversation going with our friends in a way that is actually significant and has to do with our life and death for eternity. Oh, please, Lord. And Lord, I ask that if there is resistance, that we would not try to punch back in a hurtful way, but that we would be kind, we would lay down our pride and not get all riled up with the resistance, but to continue to speak your truth in a loving way, to continue being a friend and continue praying for our loved ones. Please, Lord, increase our faith and trust in you that we would move forward in this way. Because, Lord, we do know that glorifying you is worth it, that salvation of lost people is worth it. Please, Father, change us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.